I'm Karen Florin, and this is the Storyline Podcast.
Simone A. Borden, 76, of Lisbon, ran the fall tag sale at St. Joseph Church and enjoyed baking, playing Scrabble, and traveling with her husband. She almost never missed any of her five grandchildren's activities across the state.
Michael Peter Terp, 56, of Norwich, dedicated his life to medical service, first in the Navy and after retiring from the military, as a physician's assistant at various hospitals and private practices.
Samuel J. Chinigo, 88, of Norwich, was a U.S. veteran of the Korean War, with a twinkle in his eye and a sharp wit, who worked for Norwich Public Utilities and always helped others.
A couple of weeks ago, Day reporter Julia Bergman received a list from the state in response to a Freedom of Information request of the names of 397 people from New London County who had died from complications of COVID-19. In the newsroom, we talked about how to share these names in a respectful manner to show our readers who the pandemic has taken. We decided to divide the names among the newsroom staff with instructions to look for an obituary from each person and pull from it one sentence that best described who they were. On Sunday, we dedicated our entire front page to those we lost under a banner headline that read, "Pandemic deaths leave an unfillable void."
Angelina Kelleher, 101, of Mystic, enjoyed crocheting and knitting, was known for cooking large Sunday dinners for family, and liked watching the animals around the pond of her former Cape Cod home.
Linda Jane Way, 75, Mottville, grew up in Mystic and worked at the former Woolworths in Groton, and as a secretary at the Mystic Lumberyard.
Stephen J. Rich Sr., 77, of Griswold, was an ace mechanic who worked as a crane operator at the Naval Submarine Base in Groton for 32 years.
Bergman wrote a beautiful introduction that I'll read for you now, before she joins me for a discussion of those we lost during the pandemic. Connecticut reported its first case of COVID-19 on March 8, 2020. In the year since, we've lost grandparents, mothers, fathers, siblings, and friends. They love to dance, listen to music, garden, socialize, and spend time with their families. They were dedicated and accomplished workers, decorated soldiers, and talented artists. They were voracious readers, collectors, travelers, cooks, and animal lovers. They liked what the Nutmeg State and this coastal area had to offer, from UConn women's basketball to the tall ships seen from the shores of southeastern Connecticut. Their lives were filled with joy and humor, and sometimes tragedy. The 390 people below share at least one thing in common, a deadly pandemic that has taken them from their loved ones. This by no means is a comprehensive list of everyone who has died, but it reflects the majority of New London County residents whose deaths the state has linked to COVID-19. To us, they have always been more than numbers. Here's who they were. Julia, thank you so much for joining me today. It's great to have you here. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about why you asked for this list from the state and then the other stories that we've written about those we've lost.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Karen. I think, for me personally, early on in the pandemic, I remember wondering, okay, these people are dying, but of what? I mean, COVID is a contributing cause, but what's actually happening to them? Are their organs failing? Things like that. So I kind of had questions about that pretty early on and remember talking to my mom, who's a nurse practitioner, about it and asking her, how are these people actually dying? What is the cause? So I think that was a question that really interested me for a very long time. And then I set out to get some information from the state about who these people were in New London County, and was hoping to get more information than I was able to from the state. I was looking to get their names, obviously, demographic area, information like their age, their race, where they lived, those kind of details, date of death. And unfortunately, the state was only able to provide me with their names and their town of residence. So what I ended up getting was a list of nearly 400 names. So I wanted to do something with it, but it wasn't a lot of information. So we, you know, I presented it to the newsroom that I had this list, and, you know, we talked it over and decided that, you know, we really just seeing the names would be really powerful, particularly in print, just to run all of these names. And then we got the idea, as you mentioned, to pick something out from their obituaries, any public obituaries that we could find online that, you know, was unique to them. You know, I remember some of mine were like, this guy was known for his clam chowder, and this woman loved putting up Christmas decorations, and things that really, really make people unique. And, you know, it was a really, really sobering experience, especially to do this in light of, you know, it being the 1 year mark of COVID and when the first case was reported here in the state. I think it was really, really sobering to kind of, you know, be combing through these obituaries looking for what made these people who they were. And I think in a lot of ways it made me think about my own mortality. I'm only 31, so hopefully have a lot more life left in me. But I think for anyone, you know, you kind of do an exercise like this and wonder, well, what would people say about me when I die? What would be in my obituary? So definitely a very, very sobering experience as a reporter to do.
Donald Beck, 92, of Ledyard, was an accomplished photographer and fulfilled his dream of obtaining his pilot's license and publishing a novel.
June G. Sicilian, 90, Stonington. She and her husband Bob were proud to be some of the earliest, quote, settlers, unquote, at Stone Ridge Retirement Community in Mystic.
Dolores Ruth D. Harrell, 95, Groton, enjoyed the annual winter polar bear plunge off the coast of Groton into her 70s.
I looked it up this morning. The latest death toll for COVID-related in Connecticut is 7,704 deaths statewide, and 413 here in New London County. During the past year, as we covered the pandemic, you were assigned to report a series of stories called Those We Lost, and it was features about people who had died from COVID. Can you tell me what it was like to report these stories and how people reacted when you called them and asked about their loved ones?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think... So obituaries are expensive, right? So you can pay for an obituary in the newspaper, but that involves having a lot of resources. And I think we wanted to make sure that we were capturing these people who died, particularly early in the pandemic when there was still a lot unknown about what was going on. And although this is still the case, there were a lot of people who were skeptical, I guess, about what was going on and the restrictions and precautions that were being put in place. You know, we often write what we call news obits when somebody, you know, well-known in the community or famous dies. But, you know, obviously many of these people were ordinary, regular people. And we felt they deserved, you know, to be more than numbers and statistics. I mean, very early on in the pandemic, I was assigned to cover Governor Lamont's press briefings. And, to be honest, it was at times mind-numbing because you're hearing these horrible numbers day in and day out. And I think to be able to talk to the families really brought home the reality that these are, you know, these are people who are not here anymore, and they should be. And there's, you know, in a lot of cases, these deaths could have been prevented. You know, I think in any situation when you're calling a loved one or a family member about somebody who dies, you're going to have a mix of reactions. I would say most people wanted to talk to me, you know, and had a lot to say about, you know, their loved ones. So very appreciative to them for, you know, sharing that with me. And I think I recall one woman who said we weren't able to pay for a very long obituary. So I really, for my mother, so I really appreciate, you know, you doing this. And I think just people kind of a little bit surprised, like, oh, you're calling to talk to me about my loved one. You know, the person was obviously very special to them, but, you know, maybe they didn't expect a local news reporter to be calling about them. So those are some of the reactions.
Anne English, 84, of Norwich, was a school nurse who taught nurses at St. Francis Hospital and volunteered at Bacchus Hospital. She loved walking, skiing, and fashion, especially her spring hats.
Alfred Ernest Smith, 89, Groton, served in the Coast Guard, was a devout Christian, and volunteered as a coach in Mystic Little League and with Mystic Pee Wee football.
John Stephen Millinson, 88, of East Lyme, worked many years at the Mystic Seaport Museum in the navigational instruments and ship carving exhibits.
On one of the few days that we did work together in the newsroom, since we've mostly been working from home, I did hear Julia conduct an interview with the family of Betty Beard. Julia, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think as reporters, we all kind of have some interviews that will stick in our mind forever. I called Betty's husband, Robert, and they actually both had contracted COVID in, I believe it was the May timeframe, May of last year, 2020. And they didn't actually know that they had it until Betty went to the hospital one day with chest pains. And then Robert was tested as well. She was tested. They both found out they had it. She ended up getting, I think she was initially at L&M and then was transferred to Yale. And they had had a conversation, you know, on the phone just before she was about to go into the surgery. And then she never made it out of the surgery. And Robert, I will always remember this. The first thing he said to me, you know, he said, "You know what I want to tell you about Betty? That she loved butterflies." And it was just beautiful. To hear him talk about that. It's kind of very easily visualized what he was talking about, but she loved every kind of butterfly, and there are butterflies all over their home. And he's still living in their home. So he kind of told me that he felt like he was still somewhat surrounded by her, that her presence was still there by, you know, these butterflies in the room. So that was a really touching interview. And, you know, he told me about how him and Betty met. They actually had both previously lost their spouses, and a friend set them up. And actually, the friend gave Robert Betty's number, and he lost it. He wrote it on like some scrap piece of paper while he's at the store. And a few days later, Betty called him and, you know, asked him, "Were you ever going to call me?" You know, and he said he was, but he had lost the number. And so they went out somewhere in Mystic. I can't remember. I don't think it exists anymore. But anyways, you know, I think he had had someone had a coffee, and I think someone had a Coca-Cola or soda or something like that. And they just, you know, talked for hours, and essentially were inseparable since. So, really, really tragic situation for him.
And yet the story that you wrote, Julia, is so beautiful. I'm just going to read a couple of sentences from it, since that seems to be the theme of the day. Robert Beard still lives among the butterflies, a reminder of his late wife, Betty. She had a real love for butterflies. There are butterflies in every room of this house. Gold, silver, monarch, the 79-year-old Beard said during a phone interview this week from his Mystic home. Betty had loved butterflies since she was a little girl, and the only room in the couple's home where they're absent is the attic. "And that's because no one goes up there," Beard quipped. Whenever anyone asked, "Why butterflies?" she would say, "Because they're free," he said.
Margaret Louisa Platts, 72, of Waterford, was a longtime volunteer at the Waterford Senior Center and loved following the stories of European royalty.
Ida Mary Grecki, 93, Norwich, met her husband Stanley when she was 16 at a roller skating rink in New Britain, and they married when she was 21.
Lorraine B. Tesaro, 88, of Colchester, was an amazing baker who always had goodies ready for her grandkids and enjoyed traveling with friends and family, especially to the casino. She never met a slot machine she didn't like.
Learned Kimball of Groton, who went by Matt, was a Navy veteran and a staple of Noank, who taught children how to fish and crab at the town dock, and was a founding member of the Noank Mystic Band, playing clarinet.
Another of your stories, Julia, that touched me when I went through some of them, was the owner of the MyJoy fishing boat, Paul Brockett. Could you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, that was one where, I did comb through to try to find who these people were. One of the big resources I had were the day's own obituaries. So I was combing through them a lot, looking for any kind of mention of, sometimes they explicitly said COVID, or sometimes they said the person died in the hospital. I believe his Brockett's obituary said that he was working on rebuilding the boat engine for the MyJoy when he died. So that stuck out to me. So I remember, you know, talking to his daughter and asking about that. And he loved being on the water. He was always on the water, you know, and he was going about his life, right? He was preparing for the fishing season last summer and had all intentions of being around and, you know, continuing his life. And so this was another kind of example of, he was 79, but obviously was still a very spry guy, you know, had a lot of life left to live. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us.
Janet S. Burgess, 95, of Groton, spent most of her almost 72 years of married life on Whalehead Road in Ledyard, where thousands of daffodils and perennials graced her lovely hillside gardens. She also enjoyed spending time with her family golfing, skiing, bowling, and camping.
John J. Walkowitz, 98, Stonington. Wed in 1946 at a German refugee camp, later becoming an EB pipe fitter and a prolific gardener.
Teresa Hansen, 69, Lebanon, was an award-winning business entrepreneur who was most proud of her work with animals.
A couple of the stories that you wrote were about husband and wife couples that both died from COVID. Related illness. And then you wrote one about somebody well-known and loved in the city, Pokey Phillips. Can you just talk a little bit about that one before we close this?
I think it was actually maybe a contact of yours who got in touch with us to let us know that Pokey had passed recently and that the cause was related to COVID. And, you know, obviously a huge civil rights icon in the city. Many people knew him, was a longtime judicial marshal and involved in the NAACP. So, you know, I talked with his daughter, and I think her father's death made her realize how much of an impact he had had. You know, she was like telling me about just getting inundated with texts and calls, you know, from people about her dad, sharing stories that she had never heard before in some cases. And so I think for her that helped her a little bit with the grieving. It kind of kept him alive. It kept his memory alive, I remember her telling me. But yeah, just a truly wonderful, wonderful man. I know you got the chance to meet him at some point. I wish I had. He really sounds like he touched a lot of people here in New London.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Pokey's name was Waldron Phillips, and he was just a larger-than-life character that would greet you when you came inside the courthouse, but who dedicated really his whole life to helping people and championing those who were not as well off as he was and as privileged. So he was just a terrific guy.
James Leroy Newman, 75, of Griswold, was a master of pitch, cribbage, pinochle, poker, and he loved and excelled in a good game of pool.
Carol Lee Singer, 75, Preston, had a state-licensed bakery in her home.
William J. Gannon, 99, Groton, headlined the Billy Gannon Trio, and for many years played drums with the Steamboat Sabino's Dixieland Band.
Albert Bordalo, 96 of Griswold, was an avid UConn women's basketball fan and spent many enjoyable hours watching their games and proudly displayed the Husky flag.
Last question, what has this whole experience been like for you personally, and how has it changed your life?
It's Monday now, what's the date? Monday, March 8th, and the we ran obviously the names in yesterday's edition of the day, and I actually had not seen the print edition until this morning when I came into the office for this interview. And it's just it reminds me how important the job is that we do. Telling these people's stories is really valuable. I've gotten a number of comments over the last couple of days about, you know, how powerful it was to see these names in print and to read about, you know, little tidbit bits about who these people were. So I think, you know, it's a reminder to me that everyone always has a story they to tell. And I think, you know, just to pay attention to that, to maybe, you know, slow down and talk to people a little bit more and get to know them and realize that everyone does have some really, you know, unique attributes about them.
For those of you who don't know, Julia is our military reporter here at The Day, and she is also a member of The Day's editorial board. And I have to say, she sits about 6 feet away from me, and it's a joy to work with her. So thanks for joining us here this week on the Storyline podcast.
Thanks for having me, Karen.
Robert Allen Gale, 77, Montville, attended schools in California and Hawaii, joined the Air Force, and worked at Electric Boat as a ship fitter.
Simone A. Borden, 76, of Lisbon, ran the fall tag sale at St. Joseph Church and enjoyed baking, playing Scrabble, and traveling with her husband. She almost never missed any of her 5 grandchildren's activities across the state.
Park Curtis Spicer, Sr., 83, Preston, was a submariner, former Preston First Selectman, and longtime owner of the beloved Park's Place Diner.
David McVeigh, 61, Montville, was a collector of eclectic hats. He loved to sing, dance, and draw in his numerous books.
Gloria Trombley, 78, of Norwich, had a beautiful voice, and she loved playing her guitar and singing to her family, who said she could light up a room with her presence.
Kurt K. Vibber, 66, Waterford, also known as Speedbowl and Karaoke Kurt, worked for many years in the Rad Waste Department at Millstone Dominion Power Station and was known for hosting Monday night car shows at Ocean Beach.
Charles Ray Korn, 83 of Stonington, was a U.S. Navy veteran who wrote songs, made homemade ice cream to enjoy at summer barbecues, watched New York Yankees, New York Giants, and UConn women's basketball games, and worked in many fields from electric boat to owning a bike rental and repair shop with his wife.
Thomas Evans Jr., 91, of Groton, was retired from the United States Navy Submarine Service and from Pfizer. He loved to travel, especially to Bermuda.